Would you turn again to that portion of the words we read together? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Read in verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I would like, friends, this evening just to have a look at what it means to partake the Lord's table. And as we approach the Lord's day, and particularly tomorrow, we pray, we are spared to come together to the table of the Lord. I would wish to remind ourselves, and we always need reminding, of what is involved in partaking at the Lord's table. To consider the purpose of the table, the elements used, and who particularly are to partake at the table. Now, while no doubt all of us here, whether even the children, will understand in some measure at least what it means to partake at the table of the Lord. Knowing about it in general terms. But those of us who expect to be actually at the table, for such it is not just a general thing, but it should be something not just to be observed from outside, but we are part of it. And such it should be spiritually profitable for us. And then when it will be spiritually profitable for us will be to do what the Lord would have us do as is set out before us in his word. To examine ourselves. To examine all that the table represents. So that when we come to it, that it is something that we understand what it is that we are doing. Maybe there was a time in your own experience when maybe you've partaken of the table and sat at the Lord's table for many, many years, I know some of you. Maybe you gave more consideration to it in your early days than you do now. Now, while we come to the table and feelings are very important in these holy matters, how we feel is only a small part of enjoying, or should I say benefiting, from the table of the Lord. It has to be more than just a duty. You see, coming just with a cold duty, we will not benefit spiritually from it. There has to be more than that. That is why I mentioned, if you like, their feelings. And we ought to be careful about our feelings if that's all that we have. It's more than that in it. But they have to be there. The thought, the heart warming at the thought of what we are doing, or the heart convicted about what we are doing. It can be the case that our hearts are warm there towards Christ. On some occasions more than others. I'm sure you know that yourselves in your own experience. Times when you were at the table of the Lord and afterwards that it gladdened your heart and you were stirred up afresh. Maybe other times not so much. But sometimes even when our emotions, as it were, are not moved or touched, we can still benefit from being there. Benefit from partaking. If we have come, as we are enabled, of course, in the right spirit. And if you can say, even here tonight, despite all that you feel maybe or do not feel, despite your struggle maybe with lack of love for the Lord, struggle with apathy, struggling with a coldness at times, if you can say, well, I still want to be there. I still know that's my duty and my privilege. This is where I ought to be. I know I ought to be, especially because of this commandment even from the Lord. This do in remembrance of me. And if you desire, truly desire, to be obedient to the Lord, my friend, you will know his presence and he will be with you. So if you can say, I want to be there, to once again be obedient, seeking his face, seeking to sense the Lord's presence with me, maybe as you once did. And my friend, where else would you be but at the Lord's table? Now the purpose, first of all, the purpose of the Lord's table being instituted, the purpose of its institution. Well, of course, it's summed up in these very clear words that we all know, this do in remembrance of me. Now here are those the Lord was addressing. And you would be astonished, would you not, to think that he is telling them that they needed to remember his disciples. And he's doing this also, of course, having they had just taken part in another remembrance, as he did himself at the Passover. Remember at the Passover, and then it moved on and became to them the Lord's Supper immediately afterward. And there they had been remembering something else. They had been remembered, as they did annually, their deliverance from Egypt. But now what is the Lord saying to them here when he says, this do in remembrance of me? Well, what he is telling them to remember now, it's that they have been delivered. There was another deliverance, this time not Egypt, not a physical deliverance. What was that deliverance? Deliverance from the power and the penalty of sin. This is what you have to remember. This is why the Lord has given us this to remember. And this is important. Deliverance from the power of sin. That is true. But, friends, but more than that even, to remember, surely what is more important, the one who has delivered us from the power of sin. Oh, dear friend, while you remember your sin and your deliverance, never forget the deliverer. The one who has done this for you. One who has delivered. This do in remembrance of me. Isn't that astonishing? Have you ever thought, friends, I'm sure you have, of the solemnity, of the thought that you needed a reminder of what Christ has done for you? And that's what he's doing here. He knows man's heart. Do this in remembrance of me. You can't imagine, can you, how the disciples could ever forget and needed a reminder. Maybe you can't imagine yourself, maybe at one time you also needed a reminder and need a reminder. But friends, he does it because he knows us. And it's good for us, obviously, then to do this to remember him. A reminder, friends, to remember himself and what he means to us. What was still to come in his being crucified, in becoming his people's sacrifice, and then the 3 days under the power of death, and his ultimate then glorification to deal with our estrangement from God. We have to remember all these things. And having a remembrance like this, it's not in one sense, it is not necessary as far as redemption is concerned. Not at all. But what we see here is not just a tying in an end of all the sacrificial era of the Old Testament coming to an end, the Passover and the rest. But what we have here was to come in his giving of himself. and something astonishing as well that comes with that. It is given in love for his people. It is with a thought of you and I, friend, that he does it. To help us to remember him, knowing full well our tendency to forget. Think yourself tonight, if there was no Lord's table occasionally, even whether it's twice a year or 10 times a year or whatever, if there was no Lord's table, it's true that we can drift along, sadly. And I think that having a Lord's Supper, Lord's table, that is good for us. It makes us stop. It's not that we shouldn't be thinking these things all the time, but the way we are, we don't. That's the reality. And it's good for us then to have reminders in this way. So you see, in giving the supper, it is in love for his people, because he knows what you and I need, just as his disciples need it. And even then, here at this hour, at the great hour of his crucifixion and suffering, his thoughts were on you and I. His thoughts were on his people and his care for them. So what we have here in the supper is, as Professor John Murray put it, it is the seal, a reminder of the seal of forgiveness, what he has done for us. We are to remember his death, remember himself. And when we do that in faith, we are knowing, we are remembering that he's also the one who has forgiven us for our sins, that he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. So friends, as we partake of the bread and the wine, we should have Christ before us in our minds by faith, in our hearts at the same time by conviction, and partaking, as it were, with our hands of the elements in obedience to him, knowing the need of it, knowing that the Lord Jesus has left us for it, for us, because he saw our need, and knowing that there's forgiveness here for us, for ourselves. But he also, surely, he has left it for us so that we partake, not just being mindful of what he's done for me, and that is first and foremost, friend, but also that we are part of the body of Christ. He didn't do it with just one disciple, or his favorite, if there's such a thing we can say of his disciples, his favorite maybe. No, he did it with all of them there. Drink ye all of it. Now, as an individual, we were there. We are there at the table because of what we come to know of him. Yes, as our personal Savior individually. Yet, we are not there on our own. We are not there on our own. We are there together. That is why I don't believe that it's biblical for us to go, as it were, as some do, go around hospitals and things with individually to give the communion, as it were, to some people. The whole idea is to have it corporated together as a body of people, that we're all individually saved. Of course we have to be as an individual, but we are there also part of the body of Christ. And so as we have it here, there is the bread and the wine are divided among the disciples. And so for us. And that is why when we come together, that we share it. We share the cup. We share the bread. That's communion. That's what it's about. It is a sharing together. Drink ye all of it. You all take the cup and take it and partake of it as the Lord has left it for us. And we are to do so till he come, we are told here, and we not as well. He to show the Lord's death, verse 26, till he come, the end of the world. and is there for us, as our Westminster Confession of Faith puts it, for the perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. That's what we are remembering. His sacrifice, but it's his sacrifice to remember him in his sacrificial giving. So he has given it to us, friends, for our remembrance, and therefore it must be also for our spiritual encouragement. That aspect must surely be there. We, of course, we love the Lord and we benefit from that. But here, as it were, that he's adding, in one sense, something to it to help us to love him more. Benefiting from Christ himself through our vital union with him, of course we are. But also we have here again, quoting the confession, it expresses the bond and pledge of their communion with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. It's a wonderful thing, is it not, to be able to sit at the Lord's table, to think upon him, and to, as it were, have those around you, you know that, they love him as well, and he has loved them. And that should bring us together, friends. That should unite us together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So when we come, it has been left for us for our benefit, and to encourage us, to remind us of what he has done, but what he has done. He has to be at the focus of it all. And friends, that way then we should never come thoughtlessly to the table. How often it can be that sadly we come without giving the preparation that we should to the Lord's table. It can be the same very often as well, sadly, coming to the Lord's house on any Lord's day. Preparation is so important for us. Not that we are gaining anything, as it were, to add to our salvation, but it's still profitable for us to think upon these things. We are not to come thoughtlessly. Really, it wasn't a thoughtless action on his part to leave us this table and this memorial. He did it for his people. So the purpose of it then being instituted for his people, for their encouragement to remember him. And then we look at the elements that are used as well. Now, at the outset, we must remember and must stress that what we are partaking of and the way we are partaking of it must never be seen in any way whatsoever has to do with our sacrifice or part of the sacrifice. That's the Roman idea of the Mass. It is nothing like that. Nothing at all. There was but one sacrifice, and that sacrifice satisfied the divine justice of God. One sacrifice, one time, that's all that's necessary. And because of who is being sacrificed, his infinite worth and perfection as the sacrifice. Friends, there is no need for a repeat. So whatever else we're doing, we are not coming for the sacrifice. We are not taking part in a sacrifice. What we are doing using the symbols that he himself has left for us is just what we have here, remembering him. Remembering him. Now, regarding the elements, what kind of bread and what kind of wine, that has caused controversy, as you know, down through the ages. Of course, what we have here is that continuation. There is a continuation between the Passover that is then coming to become the Lord's Supper. And that continuation, they obviously then used the bread that they had and the wine that they had. It wasn't separate in any way at all. What was partaken of at the Passover, as they were, we read as they were eating, and in Matthew 26, as they were eating, they took bread, and the cup was blessed and so on, as they were eating. And then, that's what happened there. So it was the common bread used at the time, and the wine that was common as well. Now the bread they used, of course, at the Passover would have been unleavened bread. That's, of course, and fermented wine, which was the ordinary the wine that was used at that time. So, not anything out of the ordinary. Although, of course, he set it apart for holy use. And that's what we seek to do with the bread and the wine that we have. It is normal bread and wine, ordinary bread and wine. But we set it apart, consecrated for holy use at the table. Now, many people don't seem to have a big issue, as you well know, with the type of bread that is used. But as long as it's common bread. But there seems to be an issue sometimes with wine that has caused so much debate. Well, I think it's clear even in this chapter here that what is before us here was just, it was fermented wine. What do we read in verse 21? For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in, and so on? Obviously, it was fermented wine that was being used, and was someone who were getting drunk. And so it wasn't wine that was of no, an alcoholic wine. It was obviously what was there for them. And so that surely clears something there for us. It should do, at least. But you see, while that is, the elements are there, this is not just a physical eating and drinking the Lord has in mind here, first and foremost. But as we partake, it is as Berkhof put it, he said, that it is for us to have a spiritual appropriation of his body by faith. A spiritual appropriation of his body by faith. And that's where faith comes in, when we are partaking at the table of the bread and the wine. The bread is broken, and the cup, a cup, passed around. That's just very clear as well what we have here. And so this is what is set before us in the elements. Now it also speaks here about something else that sometimes is misunderstood in verse 27. Wherefore whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. An inappropriate partaking, unworthy, with reverence really, coming in a wrong way. And I think that is referred to in what is before us in the chapter. But you see, this must never be thought of as, well, I'm not worthy to come. That's not what is taught at all here. So maybe at times we feel a bit fearful coming to the Lord's table. It's not against the timid and the doubting Christian, as maybe some tremble at the thought of it at times. And I'm sure that you know something of that occasionally yourself. Should I be here? Should I be partaking at this time? But rather it's against the carnal and the profane that we have before us, what is mentioned again in the chapter. So what is before us in the elements on the table is to signify and seal the benefits of his sacrifice. And it is for you. It is for his people. It is for those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all about, in that sense, from his point of view, it's about caring for his people and giving you what you need and what is beneficial and what will be for your own eternal good. So then much more, as you know yourselves, can be said about these things. You know it well already, I'm quite sure. So we have looked at things, the purpose for it, the element. Well, of course, the question ultimately is, who then are to partake at the table? Who are to partake at the table? Well, quite simply, only those who trust in Christ, believing he has died for my sins. And to have the faith to believe that. Now we read here in verse 28, let a man examine himself and hold it to me to that bread and drink of that cup. Yes, examine myself. And there may be times, the Christian, professing Christian, there may be times when he cannot and should not be at the Lord's table. There may be things to be sorted out in your life. It can be. But generally speaking, it is, let a man examine himself. It doesn't stop there in the verse. What does it go on to say? And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It is self-examination, and I pray that we've all surely have done that this week to some degree, preparing ourselves for it. We've examined ourselves, but else we partake. But while I do believe the Lord has saved me, but when I examine myself at this time, I'm so full of sin still. I'm still troubled with my sin. Well, my friend, let me say this to you. Every person who has ever sat at the Lord's table, even the holiest, is still troubled by sin, my friends. And maybe that's one of the reasons why the Lord asks us to remind us of you. And friend, if it was about sinlessness, it would be an empty table here and everywhere else, wherever the Lord's people meet together. It's not about sinlessness. It's about sins forgiven. And those whose sins are forgiven are at the table. No one would ever sit at the table if we're waiting to be sinless. And whatever Satan may whisper to yourself, he does he not? Being in a state of sin does not mean no more sin. Having saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as your sins are forgiven, but it doesn't mean no more sin in your life. That sinlessness, friend, will have to wait until you're at a higher table in glory with the Lord. Does that mean it doesn't matter what kind of life I live? Does that mean, well, it doesn't matter, I'm a sinner, so what can I do? Absolutely not. If you're a true follower after holiness, Christ-likeness in your day-to-day living. So, you have to remember you're partaking not because you're sinless, but one sinner. You're a sinner. Your admission to the table is known. It's based on having bread, having, and to love him and to trust him. The table of the Lord, many who love the Lord, to live his word. And I said, well, by their fruits you shall know them. Oh, there's many buds in all our lives. But as somebody else would say, well, you'll go back what you want. It's for all and any who love the Lord. Now we speak in our, it's your own church here and now, where we are ourselves. We speak about an open table, and so it is. But an open table does not mean anyone and everyone can come. The qualification, if you like, of loving the Lord, that has to be there. There's always, in that sense, a restriction. But an elder and a minister in any congregation, we cannot read anybody's heart. So admission to the table of the Lord is based on a person's credible faith, living out that faith. That is why we have Kirk Sessions, for example, doing that duty in our Presbyterian system, which is a biblical system, we believe, will seek to ascertain the life of those who come to sit and make profession at the Lord's table. But ultimately, it's up to the individual themselves. Do you love the Lord? Is it sin in your life? It's not dependent on your depth of theological knowledge. It's not dependent upon the denomination you come from. It's about this, as I said, do you have faith in Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus, your Savior? Do you believe that your sins are forgiven and they've been nailed to the cross where he himself was nailed, your sins laid upon him? And if you can say tonight, my friend, even hesitatingly at times, oh yes, I believe that. Well, what else should you be but at the table? Obedient to your master's command. And so do this in me. You see, friends, however often you and I have sat at the table, maybe not long for some, and we are thankful to God that, God willing, two brethren will be sitting for the first time tomorrow at the Lord's table. What qualifies us for God's grace to sit at the table? What qualifies you for God's grace? We've said, but at the end of the day, what qualifies you for God's grace? It's nothing but God's grace. God's grace that any of us here would be able to know and to say that we have. Not but grace itself brings us to the place where we know this for ourselves. Now again, and I've said it this week already, I don't want to repeat it too much, but the Lord's table is not normally a converting ordinance in itself. We are not converted. We are not become Christians by coming to the Lord's table. We come because we're not Christians. Don't want to that point again. You know that yourselves. An unconverted person may sit at the table of the Lord. They may sit there. And they may partake at the table. They'll come and partake of the bread and the wine, the symbols. But you see, they may receive the bread and the wine, but not receive in their hearts what is signified by them. And in that way, it is a pointless exercise. It is a sinful exercise indeed. But the benefit is not in the body. And sadly, I am sure in this country, same as in ours, so many come and sit at the Lord's table, and you never see them again till the next. In many churches, sadly, certainly in Scotland, there is no, it's just an outward show. And there can be no spiritual benefit in partaking at the Lord without what? Without grace of God. Without the grace of God. Somebody has put it this way, I can't remember who wrote it. Judas may have eaten the bread with the Lord, but did not eat the Lord. Judas may have eaten the bread with the Lord, but not partake of the Lord in the bread. And that's the reality, friends. But as we look then, God willing, to tomorrow, that we will come together remembering come. And whether you've sat there for many, many times, or you might be saying now, but I know I am not worthy. And I say this to you here, you certainly are not. You certainly are not. I absolutely agree with you. You are not worthy, but you're not there based. You're there based on the worthiness of your Savior and what He has done for you. My friends, don't forget that. It is Him. It's about Him. You are not, and no one else has ever sat there again who have been worthy. No one is there because of their worthiness. But if are here tonight and maybe trembling in a measure, and if you feel truly unfit, but if you have repented of your sin and in faith and humility casting yourself upon the mercy of God, my dear friend, don't grieve the Spirit by staying away. Be at the table. Partake at the table. Show forth to the world that you are the Lord's and you love the Lord Jesus. You have nothing, I have nothing to add. You cannot have anything of Christ, the finished work of Christ. We have nothing to add. It is all of God. This you can. Sometimes we want, but certain, am I doing the Lord? You love the Lord. You sit and be 100% sure. Do it there. Love Him. And you're living according to His word. Without sin, but seeking by grace, go forth, and whom you seek to serve. Bless these thoughts. Let us pray. O Lord God, we are come. Please thee, most holy God, to receive, we leave this evening, to have our visions and our thought, Jesus Christ, and is finished, to be able to know that we are obedient, at least. Bless any who are truly seeking thee and who have not as yet found thee. We ask, Lord, that thou be very near to such and near we would not get. Now we will keep and prepare ourselves for partaking in accordance with thy command and will. In Jesus' name.